Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Cool. So whether you are mama or somebody calls you mama, right? There's a lot of people in this world who you like biologically you're not mom, but for some people you are mom. That counts. We're good. So we got all comers. It's fine. Somebody calls you mom and you have been a mom in someone's life, but you're not biological mom. We got you. Okay, but in any event, thank God for moms. Thank God for all that you do. A lot of the seen and a heck of a lot of unseen, right? We know. And so it's a lot of unseen for moms. Like if there's an iceberg, like just tipping over, you know, out from the surface of the ocean, there's a lot more going on beneath that people don't see. And so this is a day where we say, hey, we gonna appreciate the entire iceberg. Right? Not just the surface stuff, not just the stuff that people see, but the stuff people don't know about. So I hope that you are being vetted properly. I hope you are being celebrated as you deserve, whatever it looks like. If you already did dinner or breakfast, or if it's coming up after this, which I know I better be timely with breaking open the word. I know I'm on the clock. It's okay. It's so, you know what? For days like this, it's okay. Right? Because this is a special day. So you got stuff to do. You got celebrations and things like that. You got places to go eat and you got chocolate to unwrap and flowers to unveil. It's good. I get it. So I'm working on it. Right? I got a clock right there. I'm like, okay, it's cool. We good. But in any event, we just praise God for moms. Right? Praise the Lord. I got a great mom and she did it by herself. And so I super duper appreciate that my mother and how awesome she is and was to me. And I always say the older I get, the smarter mom gets, right? The older I get, I'm like, wow. I told my mom, I called up, I'm like, mom, I just want to thank you because like I was a knucklehead a lot and you were awesome. And now that I got a bunch of kids who sometimes engage in knuckleheadery, I have a great appreciation of what you went through, right? And I was just one. I'm an only. I got four. What? So I get like this super duper appreciation from my mom, and I hope that all of you husbands and kids and everybody else, I hope you are showing maximum appreciation to mom because she deserves it. In any event, before we get into the word, a little bit on announcements. Remember, next Sunday is April's retirement party. Right? So we got it. We're doing it right. We got some catering. It's going to be really cool. All right. It's going to be a great time. If you got words of appreciation, this is it. Right? You got a tribute that you want to bring. We're going to have time after the service in the fellowship hall. We're going to set it up real nice. And it's going to be really cool. We're going to send her off right. April's the first person to like officially retire from Journey. Right, her tenure easily outstrips the pastors, including mine. Right? I'm the third pastor at Journey. April was here longer than any of us, right? And by a long shot. So it's like, wow. So she's the first person to retire from Journey. So it's like, hey, this is our first time doing this. Let's rock and roll. So in any event, you got tributes, you got words, you know, flowers, you're going to bring cards, any kind of token of appreciation. This is your time. Next Sunday after service, we're going to send her off right. It's going to be really cool. So, yes, this is a good time. And part of our service actually will be about sending her off as well. So it's going to be a really good time that we'll have to send April off. So be here. It's going to be cool. Rock and roll. Also, remember Vision Alaska. I know you've been seeing this and you're like, when's this thing coming? Right? Because we had to reschedule it. Dan got sick one Sunday. And that was unexpected. And then we realized that we had to do April's retirement party this coming Sunday, May 17th. And so we had him scheduled, had to bump it for that. And so finally we got it locked in. It's got to be a non-Sunday. So Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the next. That's May 20th here at 6:30 Vision Alaska. If you are interested in doing gospel ministry in Alaska, any interest at all, come on out. Dan's going to be here. He's heading up this effort from the Alliance Northwest, the Northwest District of our denomination. That's what we belong to. And Dan is going to come and break it all down. We are looking to kind of piggyback maybe on if there's another church that is doing Vision Alaska and has a mission going maybe even this summer. We are looking to piggyback on what someone else is doing. So if you want to go and you're saying, I don't know, are logistics going to be enough for me, that kind of thing, we're going to piggyback on what somebody else has got going on. Okay? So if you're interested at all, come on out Wednesday. It'll be May 20th, not this Wednesday, the next. and we're going to have a good time with Dan, 6:30 here at Journey. Cool? All right, let's go ahead and break open the Word, and we're going to pray before we do that. Let's do it. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, thank you for our moms. Thank you, Lord, for biological moms. I thank you for my mom. Lord, I thank you for people who are not necessarily mom, but they are called mom because that's how they function, and that is great too. Thank you, Lord. You are so kind to give us moms. And so many of us have been shaped in ways that we don't even appreciate in the moment, but down the road, things make a lot more sense because mom gets smarter the older we get. Thank you for your great wisdom in setting us up with moms. Thank you for all of us who came to know Jesus because of mom's prayers, because of mom's example, because of mom carrying her cross and telling us about Jesus' cross. Thank you, Lord. As we open up the scriptures, Lord, help us to open up our hearts to greater appreciate your great wisdom in giving us our parents, and here today specifically our moms. You are a most wise God and most kind. Thank you for being a wise God. Help us to see your wisdom on display in the name of King Jesus. Amen. All right. Today we've got a short passage, right? So it's like I told you, watching the clock, I even picked a really short passage. I'm like, so far I'm rocking it. We'll see how this thing turns out. But in any event, so if you could turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25 in Proverbs 23. In some of your translations, it'll say, saying number 17. For some of you, it has a little thing that says, saying 17. Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25. Digital analog, that is cool with me, right? As usual, we'll be operating with the New International Version of Scripture. Proverbs 23, 22 to 25. It reads as follows. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she's old. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. We'll look today at God's game plan for mom's joy. God's game plan for mom's joy. We're in the book of Proverbs, and when you approach Proverbs, you always have to remember something. It's one of four wisdom books, right? Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, right? And they all work together. In fact, especially Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes work together very well, right? And we don't see this normally because you read them as just separate books, but they actually have a logic to them. Proverbs is an ideal world. It's an ideal world where everything works the way it's supposed to. The premise for Proverbs is God has created his whole world in wisdom. Wisdom is personified as a lady, Lady Wisdom. You meet her in Proverbs chapter 8. She's a beautiful lady. She's awesome. She's amazing. And the personification is God made the world with her. Right? It doesn't mean there's actually a lady. It's just a personification trying to show God made his world in wisdom, and his world is beautiful, orderly. It's suffused with wisdom. We were made with wisdom. God manages his world with wisdom. And if we know where to look, we can find wisdom. We can find insight. We can find instruction. If we know the right people to listen to and to hang out with, we'll find it. Right, and if we put it into practice, wisdom, insight, instruction, discipline, discretion, if we put all these things and more into it, to put them to work, things will turn out well. It's an ideal world. So you read Proverbs and you're like, my life isn't this easy. All right, if you act wisely, you will be awesome. Life will be awesome. The righteous always have something to eat. That kind of thing. Fools die in fiery car crashes. Right? You know, it's just a simple math. You read Proverbs and you're like, I know some fools who prosper, who are like living their best life. I know some righteous people, you might even say, including me right now, who don't. Hey God, what up with that? Proverbs speaks to ideals, an ideal world. Job is the total opposite. Job is the epitome of a guy who lives the Proverbs life, and his whole world gets obliterated. Right? And Job's like, no, I live the Proverbs life. Even the narrator of Job tells you, yep, Job lived right. He's a righteous guy. He loves God, gives to the poor, fears God, all the things. Life falls apart. And the question in Job is, where is God? And does God's wisdom work? Because it doesn't for Job. And in God comes up to Job kind of in the halfway mark of the book and says, okay, hold the phone. I know your life stinks right now, like super duper stinks. But let me show you something. Let me pull back the veil and show you what I'm doing. Right? And then Ecclesiastes is different. Ecclesiastes is kind of like the old James Taylor song, I've seen fire, I've seen rain. Right? I've seen sunny days that I never thought would end, that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I've been on top of the world. I've been like Job, and I'm older now, and let me sit back in my smoking jacket in my favorite section of my house, in my library, and I'm going to just like tell you some stuff about how life works, right? All three of these books work together like that, right? So Proverbs deals with ideals. So when you come to it, you're like, well, life works like that sometimes, but not all the times. It's an ideal world, okay? And that's what you just read, right? We read a lot of these ideals. Father of righteous child is great joy. You might go, all the time? Right. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. Does that always happen? May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Is she always? Don't worry about it. It's an ideal world. It's what's supposed to be. Right? That's how you read Proverbs. And here we're going to look at Proverbs and try to understand God's game plan for mom's joy. Dad, you're in here too, but today's mom's day. So there's going to be a lot of focus on mom, even though dads are right here too. We will be mentioning dads because it's dads are in the passage, but we'll be focusing on mom, okay? And there's a game plan that God has for mom's joy. A lot of us have game plans today for mom's joy, right? They involve flowers, chocolate, dinner, breakfast, gifts of all kinds. You got a game plan, right? God has a really cool game plan for mom's joy, and it's pretty awesome. It's right here in our passage. The first element, there's two elements to this game plan, right? The first element is just found in verse 22. It's pretty simple, right? Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. That's it. That's it. Pretty simple, right? What this is getting at, what this is focused on, is respect. Respect. Respect dad's voice. Why? He gave you life. Don't despise your mother when she's old. Right? What's the logic here? This is actually, you could argue that this is a reworking of the fifth commandment. Right? The Ten Commandments number 5 is honor your mother and father. Right? Pretty simple. In the New Testament, we're reminded that there's a little addendum built into this that comes out in, I think, Deuteronomy. Paul talks about it in Ephesians 6. He says, honor your father and mother, because this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you in the earth. Okay? That's like putting some hot sauce on the commandment. It's like, you got problems honoring mom and dad? Okay. Do you want it to go well with you in the earth? Right? So watch how you slam that door. Watch how you talk to mom and dad. Maybe it will not go well with you in the earth. We'll see. Right? But this is like kind of, you could argue, is a reworking of the fifth commandment. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she's old. What's the logic here, right? The logic here is a thing called primogeniture, right? So I know you came to church on Mother's Day to get that word. I know. You're going to leave here, you're going to be like, wow, that's the coolest thing ever. Don't be impressed with that word. It just means the one who came before you is first. Primo. Prime, right? You see a lot in the Old Testament where the older brother or older sister has primacy. God sometimes will reverse it and give things to the younger. Primogeniture says the one who came before you, usually in your family, has unique privileges relative to you, also has unique responsibilities towards you, right? And so therefore, they're worthy of a greater amount of respect. That's primogeniture. Lots of cultures practice this in the world. They always have. Some still do. A lot in Asian culture and African culture, you'll find primogeniture, right? It's even made, it's even stressed even more highly when it comes to parents. Because it's like, not only did mom and dad come before you, they preceded you, obviously, but you came from them. See, now they have an even more powerful responsibility towards you. So here the passage is saying, so therefore, respect them. How? Listen to your father. Why? He gave you life. You might say, that's not like a really strong reason. It's like, well, he didn't have to. You didn't have to be born. He didn't have to take care of you, right? Respect what he says. Listen to him. This is somebody who has a unique responsibility towards you, right? Then, do not despise your mother when she's old. He could have just said, do not despise your mother. And you'd be like, okay, I get that. Why when she's old? Because we could be tricked into thinking, well, I'm a man. Like, you're like, you know, 15 years old, you know. Mother, would you please give me the keys? Yes, I know that I've only learned to drive recently, but could you please give me the keys? I want to go out with my friends. She's like, you're only 15, but I'm a man. You kidding me? Like, what? You're a sprout. Who are you talking about? Right? You haven't even mastered lane change yet. You're a man. Right? But I'm a man. Right? And then like the next sentence your voice squeaks because like you're not all the way a man yet. Right? Your biology is still trying to work that part out. Right? You're like, I'm a man. Right? We can sometimes get what they call too big for our britches. And we think the older I get, the dumber mom gets. She's irrelevant. I'm the future. It's like, well, actually, you are the future, but that doesn't make her irrelevant. That's not how that works. So the writer of Proverbs is saying, therefore, respect dad by listening to him. Respect mom by not thinking that she's irrelevant just because she's older. She doesn't age like milk that curdles. Mom ages like fine wine. Treat her right. See? Respect. That's the first part of God's game plan. Respect. Right? Respect. Because your parents have a unique responsibility towards you for your good. Respect them. Right? He's a lot of guts to have a kid because Constantine Kissin, who's a he has a YouTube channel called Trigonometry. It's also a podcast. Some of you may have seen it. I love Trigonometry. They do really good interviews. And Constantine Kissin, he had his first kid. I think he's got another kid on the way. I think he had a son, his first kid. And he said something I never thought about before. He was speaking at Oxford, and he said, you know, when you have a kid, suddenly the future has a face and a name. The future has a face and a name. Right? These parents are stewards of the future. That's a lot of responsibility. Honor mom and dad. Listen. And don't disrespect mom when she's old. Respect. Here's the other element for God's game plan. Joy. Joy. Skip down to verse 24 and 25. I know, there is a verse 23. We're getting there. But skip down to verse 24 and 25. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. You can't escape joy. It's just in a few verses, it's all over the place, everywhere, right? That's, you know, it's the writer saying, ding, 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 I really want you to get this, right? The first part of God's game plan is respect for mom and dad. The next part is joy. Joy. And it's interesting, the logic here is fascinating, right? That it's encouraging us as children to live for our parents' joy. To live for our parents' joy, right? By being righteous, by being wise. We want to make mom and dad joyful. Okay. It's odd, though, to have somebody tell you, live for my joy. You're like, wait, what? I know I live for my joy, right? I know I live for my joy. It's all kinds of things that make me happy, right? And I hope that on Mother's Day that there's many things that make you happy that you're getting on Mother's Day. There's lots of things that make us happy, right? But here it's saying live for the joy of someone else. And that may seem kind of odd to us, but actually biblically it's all over the place. You see Philippians 2:2. Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in spirit and purpose. Right? Paul has joy. He's like, complete my joy. Right? Jesus, John 15:11, I have told you these things, so all the things he's been teaching up to that point, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Right? So here, complete joy is linked to remaining in Christ's love and keeping his commandments. Right? Hebrews 13:4 tells us to have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Right? What's the logic here? The logic here is, as it pertains to mom, is this. Live for your parents' joy. Why? Because they're responsible for you. It's a big responsibility to be responsible for a kid, to be stewarding the future. Make it easy. Make it delightful. Right? Make it joyful. Live into what they're trying to instill in you. All the good things. Be a delight. Right? That's the logic. That's the logic. Live for mom and dad's joy. Right? So if you could get God's game plan, it's pretty simple. Respect for mom and dad. Living for mom's joy and dad's, that's God's game plan. That's it. Boom. Respect and living for joy. Right. How do you do it? And you notice we skipped the verse because in Proverbs, sometimes the point is not at the end. Sometimes you're reading Proverbs, the point of the proverb is not nice and neat at the end or at the beginning. Sometimes the point is right in the middle. Right? Because we could say, okay, fine, I buy it. I need to, I want to obey God's game plan for mom's joy. I want to respect mom. Okay, I'm in. I believe it. How? How do I do that, right? And the how is right in the middle of the passage. Verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. That's the key. The key to the passage is right in the middle. Right? Buy and hold on to truth, wisdom, instruction, and insight. So, this is how we show respect for mom and dad. This is how we live for mom and dad's joy. Right? That's the logic here. Right? Put the work in to acquire and arrive at truth, at wisdom, at instruction, at insight. You'll be working at that all your life. And mom has worked to get that in you. That's part of what being a mom is getting that in you. Even when she doesn't say, even when she doesn't use the word truth, right? Her insistence that you don't lie is her working to tell you truth is valuable. Don't lose it. Chase after it. Find it and hold on to it, right? Her insistence that you not hang around with fools at school, in college, right? In your adult life. Her insistence that you don't marry a fool. This is why you take somebody home to meet mom. So she can say, I know she's hot, but that girl, look here, that girl right there, I asked her 3 questions and she failed all of them. That's a fool. Get her out your life, right? Or I know he looked good, right? I know he looked good. And he got a nice job, and he's real handsome. That dude could be on the cover of GQ. I know, but I looked up his Facebook and his ex account. Look here, girl. Look here, that he got fool written all over him. He probably got a fool tattoo. He probably got a fool tattoo right here. Right? Get up out that. Stay out of that nonsense. Right? When she does that, she's saying wisdom is important. Right? When she instructs you, instruction is important. When she gives you insight, insight is important. Even if she never uses the words. That's being a mom. See? That's being a mom. And so here's the point. Grab that. You want to show respect for mom? Grab truth. Grab wisdom. Grab instruction. Grab insight. Right? And honor mom. And dad. Right? You want to make her happy? Grab truth. Grab wisdom, grab insight, grab instruction, right? And live for mom's joy. Complete that joy. She joyfully, and sometimes in hard circumstances, gave that to you. She took you there. You got to grab it. She can only do so much. Grab it, show respect. Grab it, live for her joy, right? Live for her joy. And he says, don't sell it. Don't sell these things. And what it means is don't exchange these for anything. right? Whatever we exchange truth, wisdom, instruction, insight for will result in us living according to lies. According to lies, foolishness, ignorance, and confusion. Don't do it. Don't exchange these for anything. There's no amount of money worth these, right? No amount at all. If we build our lives on these, we'll live basically a good life before God with tears, with imperfections, with illness, with sometimes hard economic times. Yes, right? Proverbs deals with ideals, right? But this is the way God would have us live in his world. Acquire truth, wisdom, and instruction and insight, and therefore show respect to mom and live for her joy, right? Why? This will close us out. Why do this? We talked about how. Why? Why? Why respect mom and live for mom's joy? Well, respect. Let's look at respect. Her insights and example can unlock the good life. That's it. Right? Proverbs gives us a vision for living a good life before God, the way God intended, taking rightful advantage of all the wisdom that God has left in the world so we can live a good life. Right? It's like if you ever play old Mario games, like, you know, I loved Mario growing up. Mario was it. Man, if I could figure out how to jump right, you know, make those weird leaps and everything like that. You know, you figure out all those weird configurations on your Nintendo. And I could play Mario for like a day, which was not good. But sometimes I did it, trying to figure out everything. And one of the things you're always trying to figure out in Mario is where all the hidden stuff is. Like tunnels, pipes that you can go down. And these like weird shortcuts in and out of worlds, and these different kinds of things you could pick up that could make you shoot fire, or be indestructible, or jump really far, right? That's how wisdom is in the world. Sometimes it's hidden. You gotta dig for it. But God's placed it there for you. He's placed it there for me. And one of the ways he's done it is captain obvious. One of the ways God has embedded wisdom into this world is through our parents. At their best, I know, at times, as a parent, I'm not at my best. So my girls will hear this, they'd be like, the other night, that was not God working through you, Dad. It might have been somebody else. It was not God, okay? Remember, Proverbs deals with an ideal world. It's about parents at their best, not their worst, right? Mom at her best is God saying, okay, I'm putting the cookies on the bottom shelf here. She's your mom. 3 a.m. feedings, mom. Gestated you for 9 months. 9 months. Wow. Her body went through all kinds of weird stuff. 9 months. Hello. She kind of likes you. Right? Held you. Kissed the boo-boos. All the things. You might want to listen to this lady. Listening to mom is cookies on the bottom shelf, wisdom. And dad, in a month, it'll be you. It's cookies on the bottom shelf. This is not wisdom hidden off somewhere where you gotta like dig. You gotta go through the Mario pipe tunnel thing and go look for it and go fight some weirdo creatures and finally you get the thing. Right? You're like, wow, I found the new shortcut, huh? Right. This is just mom right in front of you who loves you. Right. That's why you respect her. Right. Her insights her example, her love, her care can lead to the good life. Right? And she's been where you haven't been. Parenting is like time travel. We've been where kids haven't been. I tell my kids this all the time. They're like, oh, well, I didn't want to listen to you about something. I'm like, you know, in the future, yada yada is going to happen. You got to get ready for it. Oh, Dad. I'm like, I'm a time traveler. Hello. I've been to the future. I paid the stupid tax here, 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 and oh gosh, right here. I paid that tax so you don't have to. You may want to listen to Dad. Hello, I'm a time traveler. Parenting is like time travel. Except they don't give you like a cool, they don't give you a DeLorean. For those of you who know Back to the Future. I wish they gave you a DeLorean. That's the only thing I'm missing as a parent is I want my DeLorean. But mom's insights can unlock the good life. Why should we live for mom's joy? Because this is her reward for leading us to the good life. All right. Parents joyfully do things that make the good life possible for us. Right? Not a perfect life, but a good life. Especially a good life before God. Right? Their reward is us living for their joy. Why? What's the logic there? Well, if mom and dad joyfully, and sometimes with pain, sometimes with us kicking and screaming, if they carved out the good life for us, or at least brought us to the water and said, look, you got to drink. I carved out a path for you. Then us living for their joy is their reward. And that's not bad. It's not bad for me to say to my mom, you've shown me what your joy is. Your joy is carving out the good life for me. Yeah, I'm going to live for you. Because I'm not worried. You know, you say that kind of thing, you think, I don't want to live for somebody else. They might abuse me. They might hurt me. Well, they also might love you. Might care for you, right? Perhaps they already have. This is her reward for leading us to the good life, right? Live for mom's joy. This is why. Why should we should respect mom? Why we should live for mom's joy, right? So today, right, what do you do? Well, you should thank mom. Right. Thank her for unlocking the good life in ways you know and meditate before God. A lot of ways you may not realize. She's unlocked it. She had the key. She unlocked it. Right. And thank God for such a mom. If your mom is no longer with us, right? Thank God. Well, thank God anyway. Whether she's living or not, no longer with us. But if you say, well, my mom's not here, thank God. Praise God for such a mom, right, who unlocked the good life for you, right? With all her flaws, right? Didn't do everything perfect, didn't do everything right. But many moms do something, a lot of things right. It's a lot going on beneath the surface. Right? Thank her for it. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Right? Proverbs shows us what you do beneath the surface. Even if you don't know that you're doing it, you're like, you know, that when I was having that hard talk, I didn't think I was imparting wisdom. I just thought I was yelling. Yeah. Well, sometimes imparting wisdom involves yelling. When I was holding my kid was just bawling, crying because somebody broke his heart or broke her heart. I didn't think I was imparting insight. Well, God thinks you are. Right. When my kid fell on hard times, job loss or something went weird, and they had to come live with me. I didn't think I was imparting instruction. Oh, God thinks you were. And we had this hard, hard discussion about some craziness in the culture. And my kid is like, since he or she is veering that way, and it takes her away or him away from God and from following Jesus. And it was a hard discussion. And I'm not sure if he's going to call me back. Or she's going to, she hasn't texted me in a while since that discussion. I don't know if I imparted truth. God thinks she did. Be encouraged. Right? You're worthy of honor with all your imperfections. And today's the day we can show it. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray, and then we get the worship team up. And then we're going to go out of here and worship. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we do honor your holy name because you have seen fit to give us moms in this world who embody wisdom, who impart truth, who impart insight, who impart instruction, who point us to you and who teach us the way in which we should go. Thank you, Lord God, for such moms. I pray for maximum encouragement for every mom in this room. Whether you're a mom or somebody calls you mom, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your encouragement. I pray for your Holy Spirit empowerment. And I pray for you to feel joy, the delight of God, and the delight of those who call you mom. In the name of Jesus Christ, may this all be yours. Amen, amen. Glory be to God.